oftentimes, you know, people, they look at it as they just don't, not only do they want to win, but they just want to destroy the other side, you know? So like when you're going to buy a car, you don't want to just, you know, get a car for slightly less than the market value and get like a fair deal. You want to get an amazing deal where you completely own the salesperson and you're walking out of that dealership with a car for thousands less than what the dealer paid for it. And you just want to be laughing all the way home, right? But that doesn't happen.
One, two.
Welcome to the Emotional Intelligence Podcast, a podcast where we explore the intersection of emotional intelligence and leadership. And whether you're a seasoned executive or just starting out in your leadership journey, we're going to share practical tips, inspiring stories, and expert insights to help you develop your emotional intelligence and achieve your goals. So sit back, relax, and get ready to take your leadership skills to the next level. I'm Ismail.
And I'm Samir.
All right, Samir. So, you know, I really don't think people can or should underestimate the importance of negotiating, especially when it comes to the work environment, right? Like in a nutshell, I think negotiation, it holds the key to just getting ahead in the workplace, resolving conflicts, and ultimately creating value in the day-to-day operations of a company, right? And I think there's some obvious and more prominent places where we negotiate. Like there's contract terms or pricing, but there's also these micro negotiations that we get involved with just multiple times a day. And a lot of experts have found that, you know, via their own research, that high EQ leaders generally tend to have an edge when it comes to bargaining outcomes.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. Because a lot of the qualities that are characteristic of emotionally intelligent leaders, they also align with the qualities that would lead to success in a negotiation, right? So think about examples such as awareness of our own emotions, like self-awareness. We talk about that all the time. High EQ leaders have a ton of self-awareness. We look at social awareness, right? How our looking and reading the room and being able to react to the emotions of others, right? And then regulating our mood and behavior, you know, where high EQ leaders are so motivated to meet not only personal goals, but then care about the goals of others. So all of these things in conjunction help somebody, you know, be successful in a negotiation and are also characteristics of high EQ leaders. So there's a ton of crossover there.
That's right. I mean, that being said, I think what would be really interesting to focus on today is specifically the EQ skill of empathy and how that affects one's approach to negotiating. And I mean, personally, I think that exercising empathy while negotiating, it requires you to use all of the EQ skills that we've discussed, but I mean, why don't we just launch into that right now?
Yeah, let's do it. And I really like that we're focusing on empathy in negotiations because it's such a powerful tool when used the right way. So, Ismail, I don't know about you, but I start every single morning with a negotiation and it's me negotiating with myself on whether or not I should go to the gym. And I will tell you, I tap into all kinds of emotions to convince myself whether or not I should go to the gym every single day.
I completely understand. Yeah. I mean, I do think that's really interesting because if you think about like the practical benefits that you get from fitness,
yeah,
you would think that it really wouldn't be a negotiation. These are some practical, obvious.
It really shouldn't be.
Yeah, but I would say like just somehow, and I bet you everyone experiences this. There's like this flood of emotions mm-hmm. that come into play that just prevents us from accomplishing something that we already know and agree makes sense.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, if we parallel that to what we're talking about today, there's also some strong emotions that come into play when you have to tackle like all of these different negotiations we face at work.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, like I think you hit it on the head, right? Like as much as people are trying so hard in a negotiation to stick to the facts and just resolve all of the substantive kind of issues or the different, you know, things that people want coming out of a negotiation and try to leave emotion out of it, that's just not realistic, right? The emotional aspects catering to them are almost just as central when trying to find common ground and solving differences, trying to reach agreements. And so that's where empathy, right? Well, we talked about empathy. That's the focus of this episode. That's where it becomes such an important tool.
And, you know, like when you enter into that negotiation, I think each side, there's a few factors at play. There's some dials. And I feel like it really comes down to three things. Communication, the preparation that you do, and then I think most importantly, compromise, right? Yes. So negotiation involves this give and take approach, and people, like the parties that are in this negotiation, they really need to be willing to compromise to find this mutually beneficial agreement, right? And successful negotiators, they understand that compromise is necessary to achieve the desirable outcome for both sides.
Yeah.
And I think it's often that particular component that people really underestimate that will or could have a sticking point.
So you kind of see this all the time as well. Like when you enter into negotiations, oftentimes, you know, people, they look at it as they just don't, not only do they want to win, but they just want to destroy the other side. Yeah. You know? So like when you're going to buy a car, you don't want to just, you know, get a car for slightly less than the market value and get like a fair deal. You want to get an amazing deal where you completely own the salesperson and you're walking out of that dealership with a car for thousands less than what the dealer paid for it. And you just want to be laughing all the way home, right?
The dream. It's the dream, right?
But that doesn't happen. I mean, that's like a once in a lifetime type of experience. It's not reality. And so, you know, like it's so important for, as you enter into a negotiation, to be realistic. And, you know, I it kind of takes me back to this one time when I was interviewing this like really strong candidate for a job. And I wanted him desperately to join my team, right? But the negotiations over like the employment terms, they got really hairy. And, you know, I didn't want to lose the guy. So I ended up making all these concessions, but he also made, you know, some concessions, and ultimately he did sign on with us. And, I remember after he signed, I called him, you know, just to say, congratulations, welcome to the team. And I asked him, I'm like, you know, are you happy with the terms that we agreed to? And he said something that really sticks with me, you know, whenever I'm entering into a negotiation now, because it was so on point. He goes, you know, it wouldn't have been a good negotiation unless both sides walked away a little unhappy. And I just always think about that. You know, I feel like that is so on point, you know, like both sides walking away just a little unhappy. So
Yeah. I mean, I guess that really means that both sides also gained something if you think about it, right?
That's a good way to look at it.
So that's fascinating. I mean, I think that's where high EQ and empathy comes into play, because how can you, as a one of the parties in the negotiation, like show that you really understand the other person's position while also at the same time maintaining like your confident position during the negotiation?
Yeah.
And like in that whole realm there, I think the term empathy, it gets misconstrued a lot.
Okay.
Because it's not just about like caring about, you know, when people are sad or mad or, you know, trying to help them in those situations. While I was doing some research on this topic, a couple prominent sources came up, and one of them was a fairly well-known Harvard law professor. And I'm probably going to butcher his last name, but it's Robert Nukin. And he's got a lot of research and literature out there on productive negotiations. And then the other source was the FBI.
Okay.
So the professor, he defines empathy as the process of demonstrating an accurate, non-judgmental understanding of the other side's needs, issues, and perspectives.
Okay.
And then the FBI, they look at it more through the lens of hostage negotiations. And it's the identification of understanding of another's situation, feeling, and motives. And so you can see the similarities between these definitions, very, very different situations and circumstances. But I do want to point out that these definitions, they don't really say anything about sympathy or feeling another individual's pain.
Yeah.
And they certainly are not saying empathy is about being nice and agreeing, like just having this outright agreement of another person's position and even just giving in to their emotions. Yeah. Right.
No, that's actually a really, really good point. Like, I think empathy often does get equated with sympathy, and it's looked at as a weak emotion. But what we kind of are thinking is you flip that on its head, and empathy becomes kind of a really powerful tool. And so, you know, I kind of look at it like when we're negotiating, what's at the forefront of our minds for most of us, right? It's what we want to achieve. It's what's important to us, and, you know, how the business is going to respond when you go back to your internal stakeholders and you tell them, like, look, this is the outcome of the negotiation. And so not being empathetic and then focusing too much on our own agendas when negotiating, it's going to make us push for things and make arguments that aren't going to resonate with the counterpart or whoever, you know, you're going up against in this negotiation, right? Like, if you're just negotiating from a position of what's important to you, that's when you'll get, like, you know, a response like from the other side of, you know, so what, right? You know, that sounds like a you problem, right? Like, you got an issue, here's a tissue type of situation. And then, you know, negotiators who have emotional intelligence, capacity of empathy, they're able to see the needs of their counterpart as well as their own. And a lot of times in negotiations, people just, they want to be seen, they want to be heard, they want to be acknowledged. And then only after that are they ready to compromise. So empathy in a lot of ways is like a catalyst, right? It's just, it takes you straight to where you need to start the conversation to reach compromise.
Sure. I mean, I think that, you know, if you want to become a really confident negotiator, ideally, you want to learn ways to employ that particular, the way that plays out, the way that you described it. Like, you want to get there really quickly, right?
Yeah.
You want to make sure that both parties, that you're on the same level playing field. And just to make sure that things, like, you're level setting the context and the starting point.
Yeah.
You know, I remember this one time when I had to take my car in for a repair. These are the type of examples that come to mind when negotiating, right? But like, the service manager,
I'm already stressed out just hearing car repair.
For sure, right? It's not one of those things that anyone enjoys.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a situation I think that turned out well, but like, the service manager, they were really confident and certain that everything was going to be done by the end of the day, as they usually are. And I didn't think anything otherwise, right? Yeah. But lo and behold, they call me and there was some issue and it wasn't going to be done until, you know, the next day and for the next couple of days.
Okay.
And, you know, I just want to level set here that at that point, I'm really young. It's my first car. It's my first new car. And I think I'm this hot shot and, you got to get all upset in these situations and frustrated because, you know, I think that's what people do in negotiations.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think I'm essentially just berating this person on the other line. I'm pretty sure they're innocent.
Yeah.
They're just the messenger.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
But they did something really interesting. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously they've been through this a lot, so they had a lot of practice, but he just listened to everything I had to say. He didn't say a word. He acknowledged things that I was saying. And when I was finally done, which probably it felt like an eternity for him, he just follows up with this, "I can tell you're really upset by this. And I know that's probably because we let you down. We made this promise, et cetera, right?" All of these kind of empathetic ways of acknowledging the way that I felt.
Yeah.
And he asked me, he's like, "What can we do to make this up to you?" And I was just floored. Yeah. I did not expect that at all. Like, he really understood where I was coming from. He brought us down to the same level, or he kind of came down to my level, I would say at that point. He knew I was mad. He knew, like, that I needed something to make up for it. And I was just so taken aback by that. I really didn't know what to say. And I'm sure I could have asked for more, but I said, like, "Can we throw in a free oil change in detail?" And he was like, "Yeah, absolutely. Not a problem at all." And I think this was clearly one of his strong points, or he was able to practice empathy through experience. Yeah. But you know, we've been talking about empathy as this, you know, requirement or critical factor for success in negotiating, right? But let's take it a step further.
Okay.
And why don't we just share with some with folks here some ways that they can use empathy to be successful when negotiating in more of a practical way?
Yeah. And yeah, definitely. I think that folks would appreciate that. So let's get into that.
Thanks for tuning into the podcast. We hope you're enjoying the episode so far. If you want to stay updated on all the latest content and behind the scenes action, be sure to follow us on social media. You can find us on Instagram, LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, and several other places by using the link in the show notes. And if it's not too much trouble, we'd love for you to leave a review and share this episode with some of your friends. Your support means everything to us, and we can't wait to connect with you online. Now, let's get back to the show. I mentioned earlier that during my research, I came across the FBI's definition of empathy, and that was actually sourced from the Black Swan Group. And this is this high-end negotiation training and consulting company. And it was actually started by one of FBI's top negotiators. His name was Chris Voss. I think, you know, some people probably know who he is, but his entire approach, it revolved around this notion of tactical empathy. And Voss described this as emotional intelligence on steroids. And the whole premise of tactical empathy is the act of understanding another person's mindset and feelings and making them feel understood. I feel that, like, I think that's really powerful. And because really, if you're able to understand the emotions and perceptions of someone else, like, you know, what their drivers are, you know, driving their actions, I think you're just already more equipped to influence their behavior in this organic way that might be longer lasting. And if you pair empathy with things like self-awareness and self-regulation, you have the ingredients for employing not only tactical empathy, but this really potent, powerful way of negotiating. And Voss very specifically laid this out in his book. It's called Never Split the Difference. And it has tactical empathy just at the center of it. The heart of the book concept is tactical empathy. And he defines it as the process of knowingly and intentionally influencing your counterpart's emotions to make deals. And that got me thinking. I was just like, well, okay, what does that look like? And just naturally, you think of, say, startups, right? And these startups, they're trying to make a name for themselves. They're probably, you know, possibly a dime a dozen. But if you're working with a startup, you might kind of tap into the fact that they're new, that they're trying to win work, trying to make a name for themselves. And you, as a negotiating party, you might say, all right, hey, we're willing to give you this work, but I need you to do it at a reduced cost because it ends up being a win-win situation.
Yeah, Ismail, I really like that example. And I love that Voss uses the word intentional because it really does need to be an intentional act of influencing, right? And understanding the position of the other side. You empathize with their circumstances, but then ultimately your goal is to guide them to your position, right? I was involved in a negotiation where I had a very specific business problem that I was trying to solve, right? And I was working with the services company that wanted to do services for me, but they didn't want to take on the liability of staffing a team and managing resource utilization. And so I had to tell them, I was like, look, like, I get it. Like, your situation is tough. It's not easy. I can empathize because I am literally taking my problem and I'm making it your problem. I know that. But I was okay with making that clear that, yes, I know I'm being self-serving here. This isn't a give or take. This is a take move by me, but it's what I need to do right now. And eventually they did take on the burden because I was upfront. I was open. I was clear that I knew how it's hurting them. And I didn't hide behind that or act like it wasn't a big deal because it is a big deal. And I was very clear with them about that, but they wanted to get that work from me. And they eventually recognized that it was the only path forward, right? But we could have reached that same end goal very contentiously. It could have been super drawn out over weeks with multiple impasses. You know, we could have been talking and then talks could have broken down and ended. but that wouldn't be good for me. That wouldn't be good for my business. So I had to employ some tactical empathy there, right? Like I had to enter into their world, see it from how they're seeing it, and tell them like, I get it, right? But then I was intentional about influencing them to see things from my perspective too.
Today, in any situation, I think we all want to feel heard and understood. And I mean, look, my approach to negotiating, some people might disagree with, but it's generally this open book approach. I'm really open about the things that I'm looking to accomplish, what I'm looking for. And me doing that, like the goal of doing that is just to diffuse any tension and worry about that negotiating process because it's stressful. I think everyone goes into that situation feeling like, okay, that person, it's this competition, or I've got to be on the defensive or the offensive. And I just, you know, I want to blow past that and get down to the brass tacks of it. And I mean, this is for anything, negotiating big things. I mean, let me give you an example of a micro negotiation example, right? So when it comes to teams that I'm working with or my teams, I know there's always going to be people who aren't going to agree with or enjoy doing something that they're responsible for.
No, it's just that never happens.
Right? Of course not, right? God forbid. But, you know, regardless of what I think or know the answer to be, I'm always going to take a pause and I'm going to actively and wholeheartedly listen to what they've got to say. And the reason is like, I can't respond or adapt accordingly to the circumstances if I don't know what they're looking for. Right. I really feel like I need to understand their goal. And that's why I firstly get it out of the way. You know, I set my position up and then I want to hear what they have to say. And once I understand that, it gives me this opportunity to negotiate the situation where we're going to land on a compromise. I'll always go for that compromise. And that compromise might not be like the answer is there right then and there. We're meeting in the middle. It might be some situation where they just have to do that work anyways, but it might warrant some sort of compensation or reward later on. And that can be in the form of, we all like obviously time off and money, but also just there's little projects that you can move around. There's just all of these moving parts to it, right?
Until you're ready and willing to listen and, you know, be open about having that conversation, it's difficult for them to reach a place of compromise, right? Because but then you acknowledging how they feel is so key. And so, yeah, I think that's so interesting because I think that when people are negotiating, they're always kind of focused, or oftentimes I should say focused on getting the yes, right? Like you want the other side to say, yes, I agree with you. I'll do whatever you say. But with tactical empathy, like you want the other side to know that you see them, that you hear them, and you're not just searching for the yes. You're kind of aiming for more of a like, yeah, like that's right. You know, that's right. Like those kind of like, those are like the magic words, right? That's the first step, I think, of getting past an impasse or even avoiding one altogether, because you're kind of like verbalizing the ideas in the other person's head so precisely that it's like you're reading their mind. And I think when you do that, like it just, the guard comes down. Like everybody's just ready to talk about the issues because you've kind of like said, you know, like I get it, you know, and I think that's so powerful. And it's something that has really helped me in negotiations over the years.
I think that the example that I'd used about this, the person who called me about my car, I think they did exactly that. They're like, oh, okay, I understand that you're upset. I'm like, yeah, that's right. I am. I mean, because what am I supposed to say after that?
Yeah.
I pretty much just acknowledged it, right?
Right.
And like you were saying, I feel like he was reading my mind. And when you're in that situation, when you have that skill to be able to read someone's mind and you're vocalizing their position, you'll most likely have to be vulnerable about your own weaknesses, right? And that's not an easy thing. That's really quite scary. And if you think about it, like tactical empathy requires or might make you feel scared. And I think it's because you're sort of having to say certain things that might make you feel exposed, and they might really seem to be against your best interests.
Yeah.
But truth be told, using tactical empathy, it at the end of the day is about being really strategic and fearless.
Yeah. Yeah. And exactly. Like, you have to really believe in it as a strategy that works. Right. And
yes.
And be okay with the fact that your position may have holes, but you need to find ways to plug those holes, you know, without budging too much. So yeah, absolutely. But I think Ismail, from us, the people that are listening, I think they want to hear more about how to technically use tactical empathy in a negotiation. Like, are there any concrete tips and tricks that we can share to give our listeners a jump start on using tactical empathy in their next negotiation?
Definitely there are. And bear in mind, like, I'm putting my own spin on some of the research that I've done.
Sure.
So I mean, like, this is me summarizing it for folks out there, right? But there's some basic principles. Firstly, then there are things like, you have to make sure you have the right tone of voice. You want to avoid denials and disagreements, and just really make sure the other person is feeling as though they've been heard. But in practice, I think what tactical empathy looks like, it would be something like showing the other person that you're truly negotiating in good faith.
Okay.
You know, as I was mentioning, how many times have you gone into negotiation thinking, all right, that person's just getting ready to screw me, right? And you just want to genuinely express that you're not there to deceive or exploit anyone. And you can tell when someone is being really true about that, right? I think you want to, and I enjoy doing this, like, you practicing genuine curiosity and interest in what their goals and motivations are. And you've got to ask that question, but you have to build this authentic connection with someone. And if you're able to do that, you're able to end up with a really, truly optimal solution for both parties.
Right.
It's not just a one-sided thing.
Right.
And then you want to focus on the positive emotions and try and deactivate the negative ones. And what that ultimately does, it builds this sense of trust and rapport, and that allows you and your counterpart to always feel like they're on the same page. And that only helps influencing them in the outcomes.
Definitely. I really, really like that. That's all really good stuff. You know, negotiating in good faith. You talked about genuine curiosity, you know, focusing on positive emotions and all of those things. You know, they really help bring you into the comfort zone of others and allow for really good discourse and discussion. You know, this is a topic that we can talk a lot about, you know, but we're encouraging you guys to pop into our show notes if you want more resources or details about tactical empathy. We're going to share all of the sources, the source material that we used to do our own research on these topics, which we're really interested in and think is very important. But yeah, man, I mean, using tactical empathy, it really helps to make sure that the other person feels comfortable, that they feel vulnerable, they feel malleable, right? That's the biggest thing. Once you employ tactical empathy, you can kind of get flexibility from other people, which no doubt is going to help you get what you want in a negotiation.
Such a great topic to cover. I really enjoy this today. I mean, I think you and I are both pretty familiar with the fact that negotiations are just this ongoing saga. And I think at any given point in time, you're either dealing with negotiations that perhaps have some really major, say, financial consequences, or it's this perpetual micro negotiation that, like, impacting your day-to-day work, like, say, how to balance your resources to get work done the most efficient way. And I mean, I think the need for being a strong negotiator is constant.
I agree. And you know, today we discussed how the EQ skill of empathy specifically is so important when negotiating. We define the true meaning of empathy, right? How it's often looked at through the lens of sympathy, but it really truly is just understanding the perspective and situation of another person. And then we talked about tactical empathy and using the emotion of empathy to intentionally influence others as a golden ticket, right? When trying to close deals and help your business thrive.
Well, I hope this topic and content was useful to you all. And as always, thanks for listening.
into today's episode of the Emotional Intelligence Podcast. We hope you found it informative and enjoyable. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast on your favorite podcast platform so you never miss an episode. And if you have a moment, we'd really appreciate it if you could leave a review on your favorite platform. Your feedback helps us improve and reach more people. If you're interested in learning more about the topics we discussed today, be sure to check out the show notes for links and resources. You can find them by visiting our website. And if you have any questions or feedback, we'd love to hear from you. You can reach us by email at info@emotionalintelligence.com or connect with us on social media by using the links in the show notes.
Thanks, Amir. And thanks to everyone listening. Until our next episode, remember this quote from Chris Voss in his book, Never Split the Difference. The beauty of empathy is that it doesn't demand that you agree with the other person's ideas.